You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of What's Up Broadway. We are your listening hub for Broadway breaking news, industry interviews, and what's trending on theater socials. Also, a little bit of fan Q&A. I am back with my co-host, Martine Acuna. Did you have a great weekend, Martine?
I did. I actually did. It was a lot of family things, but it was great. And I saw this new Jamie movie. I liked it. And yeah, that was it. I had a great weekend.
That's awesome.
What about you? I saw all the photos and videos from Curtain Up Weekend, and I know you have all the gossip there.
Yeah, no gossip really, but I'm still recovering. Curtain Up was fantastic, but it was like overwhelming. It was like the entire weekend. Mm-hmm. The Broadway Podcast Network kicked off every day with Wake Up Broadway, which was so much fun. And each day we featured a different podcast. Of course, What's Up Broadway was a big part of it. But we also had the How to Be More Chill podcast, Broadway Gives Back podcast, and our newest podcast, Off Book, the Black Theater podcast hosted by Drew Shade of Broadway Black. Curtain Up was fabulous. I mean, there was nothing bigger, nothing of such a like a theater festival that I've ever been a part of. And that was like, it was literally in the heart of Times Square. Everyone was there, from the Mickey Mouses and the Elmos in the street to like your theater fans to people who were just like passing by and happened to stumble on Curtain Up. So it was so much fun. And Martine, if this ever happens again, I know that you're in Columbia, but you have to come to New York and join us. But it was such a good time. And it's something that I will never forget for sure.
And next time I will be there.
Good. Let's get into some Broadway breaking news. TDF's TKTS ticket booth, located in Times Square at Broadway and 47th Street, reopened last Tuesday. TKTS sells same-day discount tickets to matinee and evening performances, as well as next-day tickets to matinee performances for Broadway and off-Broadway productions for up to 50% off. Tourists are back in the city, and I noticed that the lines were insane. During Curtain Up, I don't know if Curtain Up helped, but it was just like the lines were wrapped around the corner. This is a good sign. People are ready to sit back in theaters. Mm-hmm. People are ready to see shows, and I'm so happy about that. So maybe theaters will be more crowded next week. Really, really excited. We also received the official West Side Story trailer. And now I'm anticipating the film. West Side Story is not one of my favorite musicals. But maybe this adaptation will change my mind. I know people were really upset about the lack of singing in the trailer, but I think the film creators are going for less is more, and they want the actual film to be a surprise. And especially with Rachel Zegler making her like musical film debut, that they really want this to be a surprise and they don't want to give too much in the trailer. What do you think about this, Martine?
I love this musical. It's one of my favorite musicals. My jaw dropped when he just said that it wasn't one of yours. And I'm really excited for this adaptation. And Rachel, if you ever listen to this, I love you. I'm your fan. I am really excited for you. It's just big. It's a nice musical, and I'm excited. Last week, we also got news that Stephen Sondheim is working on a new musical. He announced on the Colbert Late Show that he has been working on this show with playwright named David Ives called Square One. Reports have stated that Broadway legends Nathan Lane and Bernadette Peters were involved in the reading, though it is unclear if the pair will be involved in the full production. Sondheim plans to stage the show next year. What are your thoughts about this, Ayana?
What aren't my thoughts about this? First of all, I'm ready for new musicals, period. I'm all for a revival, hint, hint, Titanic, I want you to come back. But a new musical literally from Sondheim? Like, what? Will I ever be upset about that? No. And then we get Nathan Lane and Bernadette Peters. There's nothing better than that. Mm-hmm. I want it. I want it now. I don't even care what it's about. Hell yes.
It's Sondheim. I mean,
period.
Yeah, that's it. Only words I can say. In other news, we learned that Amy Adams will make her West End debut in a revival of The Glass Menagerie by Tennessee Williams. The Glass Menagerie is set to begin performances at the Duke of York Theatre in London on May 23rd, 2022. Tickets are on sale right now. And Ayana, you're Broadway's gossip girl. I think you have a hot tip for us.
I do have a hot tip. I know that there are a couple of Amy Adams fans, including like the ultimate Amy Adams fan is Casey Mink on Twitter. She's so great. She loves Amy Adams down. And she had tweeted that she would travel the world to see Amy Adams, especially in her theater debut. And it may be coming to New York. She may not have to travel. But this is also like, this would be like the third production of The Glass Menagerie in the last like 3 or 4 years. I think it's a great play, but it's like overproduced on Broadway. But I'm really happy that Amy Adams is making her West End debut. She's a great actress, long overdue for a number of awards. But maybe she'll be getting a Tony or Olivier very soon. We'll see. Also, an announcement roll call, Hadestown 6, Hamilton, and American Utopia have announced Broadway lotteries. So if you're feeling lucky, enter these lotteries and good luck. I have really good luck with lotteries, which is crazy. Do you have luck?
No, I've never entered a lottery. I've wanted to, but since I'm not there constantly, it would be just like a waste of time. But
you should try it because it's usually for the same day. So if you're already in New York and you have nothing to do that night, try your chances. I haven't won the Hamilton lottery. I don't know anyone personally who's won the Hamilton lottery. So I'm really like questioning how Hamilton picks their people. But I definitely have had great luck with lotteries. BroadwayForBrokePeople.com, I love that name, has been one of my favorite websites to find out about rush and lottery policies. So definitely check them out. In other news, BroadwayCon, the premier fan convention for all things Broadway, is turning the lights back on to energize and reignite musical theater fans worldwide. BroadwayCon 2022 will be held at the Manhattan Center and the New Yorker Hotel on Friday, February 18th through Sunday, February 20th. Tickets go on sale Wednesday. That's so early for something that comes out next year. But I'm really excited about BroadwayCon. Have you been to a BroadwayCon, Martine?
I haven't. I once planned, like in 2017 or 2018, I planned to go to the Broadway Con, but I didn't do it. But for this one, I am saving today for that.
Good.
So yeah, I'm planning to go. I'll be there.
Good. I love the people who like come in like full cosplay. I wish I could come as like Eurydice from Hadestown, but I'm like not that brave. But shout out to all the brave people who come in full cosplay. I love it. Continue to do it. I know it will be cold in February, but still do it. Let's get into some show openings and casting announcements.
Moulin Rouge West End will be welcoming Lisi LaFontaine, who played Dina in the recent West End revival of Dreamgirls. She will star as a Satine, opposed newcomer Jamie Boggio as Christian. The principal cast will also include two Olivier nominees, Clive Carter as Harold Zidler and Jason Pennycook as Toulouse-Lautrec. Also, Dear Evan Hansen recently announced the casting for the Broadway production, the tour production, and the West End production. Jordan Fisher, who was playing the title role in Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway when the COVID pandemic shutdown hit in March 2020, will return to the role when the musical reopens at the Music Box Theater on December 11th. Stephen Christopher Anthony will play Evan in the musical Storm production, which is set to launch on December 7th in Greensboro, North Carolina. And Sam Tutty will return to fill the lead role in London, which will reopen on October 26. Lastly, as previously announced, Ms. Doubtfire will open on Broadway this fall with Tony Award nominee Rob McClure in the title role at the Stephen Sondheim Theater. Joining him are Jen Gambattese as Miranda Hillard, Peter Bartlett as Mr. Jolly, Charity Angel Dawson as Wanda Selner, Mark Evans as Stuart Dunmire, Jay Harrison Gee as Andre Mayhem, Annalise Carpacci as Lydia Hillard, Jake Ryan Flynn as Christopher Hillard, Avery Sell as Natalie Hillard, and Brad Oscar as Frank Hillard. Previews for this show will resume in October 21st, 2021, and advanced to the official opening night on December 5th, 2021. Ayana, now tell us, what are the next shows to open on Broadway?
Yeah, before I run that down, I just want to say that I saw a musical performance of Mrs. Doubtfire during Curtain Up, and I was not excited about this show. I'm like really excited about shows that are adapted from film, but the musical number gave me like this hard rock vibe, and it was sung by the three children that will be featured in the show. And I swear, I was just like, my jaw was on the floor. I was like, I could not believe how good they were. They all sounded fantastic. And I'm really excited to see this show. So next coming up on Broadway, on September 21st, we have Come From Away, which we already got the pro shot, but this is really exciting that the show is coming back. On September 23rd, we have Chicken and Biscuits, which is written by my friend, Doug Lyons. Very excited about him and for his show. On September 24th, we have Moulin Rouge and Is This a Room? On September 25th, we have Lehman Trilogy. And September 28th, we have Aladdin. Any of these shows you're excited about, Martine?
I wish I could see Chicken and Biscuits, honestly. I check their website once a week to see if they released anything new. And it's just exciting to me to see this amazing cast. And I know that you are excited for Aladdin and their new cast, since you saw them this weekend, the musical number in the stage of Curtain Up. And I'm excited for them too.
I'm totally going to tell Doug that you check the website every day. He will be very happy that you said that. I'm really, really excited about Is This a Room, obviously, because I am on the production team, but also because it's based on fact. I love a true story. It's based on Reality Winner, and I don't want to give too much away, but there are a lot of fall preview articles that came out that are already praising the shows because they previously ran at the Vineyard Theater. And so we'll link some of those articles in our show notes, but I cannot wait. I also can't wait for Aladdin, as you said. The new cast, stunning. And I'm talking about stunning in every way, stunning with the look, stunning with the chemistry on stage. The voices like butter. I don't remember the last time I saw Aladdin. I did see it on Broadway, but it was so long ago. And I'm really happy to like give my money to this show.
After our break, we will go into theater socials and what is going on there.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So, what's been raving right now are the Tony Awards have canceled their after party. And they canceled the official red carpet. There's only going to be a virtual red carpet. And I know that they're citing COVID-19 concerns, but it's like the Tonys now feel so different, right? Martine, what are your thoughts?
It's going to be weird. I mean, ever since COVID hit, everything has been weird. And we've had to adapt a lot. And I think other types of award ceremonies have successfully adapted. And we have so much uncertainty right now about things with new strains and new variants. I wish the Tonys didn't cancel the red carpet. It's part of an award show, and we're all looking for that.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And I think like the nominees especially deserve so much better than what they're getting. I feel like this is almost like a half done Tonys, like, and they've waited so long for this. Like, they deserve like the bells and whistles. Mm-hmm. And there have been so many like already, like we've done the Passover opening night party. That was great. You know, you find an outdoor venue where you can, you know, the air is flowing. You make sure that it's not overcrowded. And don't get me wrong, like I love the Tonys and I'm going to watch it. And I'm really excited for Adrian Warren in particular to like run off the stage with her Tony. Can't wait for that moment. It's just, it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel like, you know, we'll get to interview her before about her anticipation. Yeah. And is she ready? I'm sure like her answer would be like, yes, of course I'm ready. But it's like, you know, we don't get that moment, or we can't give her that moment. And mm-hmm. it kind of feels like, I just hope next year's Tonys is like really over the top to make up for everything that has gone wrong.
I wish next year's Tonys are out of this world. Not I wish, I expect. Sorry. But yeah, to be over the top. Also this weekend, the producers of Jagged Little Pill collectively released a statement on social media regarding the controversy surrounding the development of their character Joe. On Friday, the show's lead producers posted a lengthy statement pledging production changes and apologizing for how its team publicly discussed and then featured one character's gender journey in the show. Most importantly, the team apologized for mishandling one character's gender identity, outlining several steps the production is taking to offer a clearer and more respectful representation of its gender non-conforming characters. I think this is the start of change. Personally, I love Jagged Little Pill. I've been a fan of Alanis Morissette's music for a long time. And when I saw the show, I truly loved it. Yes, as it happened to me with a lot of shows, there's always a thought that I have like in the back of my mind on how can they improve? And I think that acknowledging, accepting, and apologizing is the first step. We'll see how this, or yeah, how well this goes. The change has started, and I'm happy about that.
I feel two ways. I feel like it's not my place to accept this because this is not speaking directly to me, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one. Another thing is I do like that they apologized while also holding themselves accountable. But again, this doesn't, you know, represent me. So it's not my place to accept an apology that is not towards me. This is specifically to the trans and non-binary community who rightfully so felt offended, especially our own Christian Lewis co-host, who wrote a lengthy article about how they were affected by this and how people who were cast in that role of Joe and then were left out in the Broadway run were affected by this. And it's rightfully so that they call it out, and it's up to them whether they accept this or not. So hopefully on the next What's Up Broadway, we will have Christian talk a little bit more about if they accept their apology or what their thoughts are on this, but it's definitely not up to me. I do like that they held themselves accountable because you cannot apologize without holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Before we wrap, make sure to check out BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com for new episodes, including Broadwasted Podcast features a fun conversation with Brian Terrell Clark of Thoughts of a Colored Man. Thesis on Joan chats with Twi McCullum, the first woman of color sound designer. Musicals with Cheese talks with Grace Aki about her new one-person show, To Free a Mockingbird. Built for the Stage Podcast talks with Arielle Reed of Aladdin about her dance career and being a superhero mom. The Feinstein 54 Below podcast meets up with Drama Desk nominee Amy Spanger about the musical Chicago and her amazing career as Broadway's leading lady. And finally, the theater podcast with Alan Seals speaks with producer extraordinaire Jenny Steingart. Don't forget to check out BPN's latest podcast, Burnt, Broadway's first true crime podcast all about Rebecca the Musical, the show that set Broadway ablaze. Make sure to download our iOS app at bpn.fm/app for early access to all these episodes and more. So with that, let's get into some fan Q&A. So over on social media, I asked for everyone's favorite opening number, and I thought it would be fun for us to answer. So we're going to run down our top three, then give you one that we don't particularly like. Are you ready, Martine?
I am, but you got to start.
That's not how this works. Anyways, well, let's do it. So my number three, that's my drum roll, is We Dance from Once on This Island. I love their opening number. I mean, it sets the tone for Once on This Island. The choreography is great. The song is great. It gets you moving and upbeat and ready for the show. I mean, I love Once on This Island as a whole, but that opening number really sets the tone for that show. It's not my number one, but it is my number three. I love it. Your turn.
Okay. For my number three.
Wait, we got to do a drum roll. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Okay. I have one that it's a classic for me. I've loved this one. As an opening number, it just introduces me to the whole mood of the show. And it is a chorus line. I hope I get it. I mean, it's like, I just love it. It's like a party for me. And it's like 5, 6, 7, 8.
Do that again. This is Martine's self-tape, everyone.
Step, kick, lip, kick, touch again. I just love
that's
that
a good one. That's a good one. That's a good one for sure. Okay, I'm not going to sing, but my number two Drum roll, please. Of course, is Titanic the launching? I mean, let's be honest. An opening number that is three songs in one. Who does that? Who does that? It's literally three songs as a melody in one called the launching. I'm not going to sing it like Martine did, but literally one of the best opening numbers. I'm actually going to listen to it after we finish recording. Okay, Martine, you're number two.
Okay, I am a sucker for mashups. So,
drum roll. Dun, 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 dun.
For me, Welcome to the Moulin Rouge. I just love that opening.
Really?
It's because I love mashups. I mean, I thoroughly dislike the movie, but when I listened to the cast recording of the Broadway production, it was like, this is amazing. Like, hey, sister, soul, sister. I just love it. And the whole storytelling and introduction of each character through this opening number, for me, it's mind-blowing. I just love it.
Well, that's interesting because no one said that in our Twitter thread. That's a very interesting take. Okay. I don't know if I agree with that one, but I'm glad that you love it. And it's your number two. And my number one is the best opening number of all time. Ballad of Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd. Best opening number. Don't come for me. I said what I said. It's better that I know everyone in the thread, all of our fans were like, ragtime, ragtime, ragtime. And I was like, no, no, no.
Dodge your moment.
I was like dodging it. Like, no, this is not it. It's Sweeney Todd. It's number one. Please don't come in my DMs. I will block you. No, I'm not going to block you. But I'm just like, Sweeney Todd is literally the best opening number. Look at Sondheim. Like creating a masterpiece. I'm just so ready for his new musical. Let that opening number of the new musical be even better than Sweeney Todd, but like number one, all-time favorite. What's yours?
I am going to go with a classic of mine. It's a song that it still gives me goosebumps. It makes me cry a lot, and it's the Lion King's Circle of Life. Like, this whole idea of having gigantic animals passing by you to get to stage while Rafiki is singing, that an antelope, and whoever knows the theater, what part of the theater is
an antelope.
Yeah. It is an antelope. Starts singing, and it's just like, wow. And I love it. The Lion King is my favorite animated film from Disney, and the Broadway show is just a balm of love. And yeah, it gives me goosebumps. I had it as my alarm clock 10 years ago, and it just loved waking up to Rafiki screaming at my ear.
Wait a minute. I love opening numbers as alarm clocks. Like, that's, you just created something. I'm totally going to change my alarm clock. It's a Ballad of Sweeney Todd. Could you imagine? No, that's kind of dark. No, that's kind of dark. Maybe we shouldn't do that. Okay. So
something more nice.
More nice. I mean, it can't even be Titanic. That's almost as dark. Anyways. All right. Here's one that we don't particularly like. No drum roll for this. Let's just get straight to the point. Welcome to the Renaissance. Something Rotten. The entire musical... I know that I'm going to get comments on this because there's like a huge Something Rotten fan club that's like out there. But that entire musical, opening number included, I was just like, this musical has the perfect name. Everything is Something Rotten. I'm not going to use the H word. I strongly disliked the musical.
How can you dislike that show? I mean, it has a lot of jokes in the opening number that I, every time I listen to it, I laugh out loud. Like, welcome to the Renaissance. I just love it. How couldn't you?
No. No, just no. I do not like Something Rotten, and I am sorry to all the fans that absolutely love the show. It's not one of my faves. I hope it never gets a revival. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry for all the people who played in that show. I love you, but I don't particularly like this show. Anyways, what's your worst?
Mine is the overture for Cats. It's so psychedelic, it gives me a headache.
Okay, I could see that. I mean, I like Cats, but I could see that.
Cat has some good songs, but the opening number is just so weird for me. And it's like,
it's like getting wow to the sounds.
Yeah.
But listen, look at Cats. So many millennials have seen Cats as like their first Broadway show and have fell in love with theater because of Cats. So Cats, while your show may not have Martine's favorite opening number, you have changed lives for the musical theater community, including me. I will not forget 1998, sitting next to my grandfather in the Winter Garden Theater, seeing Cats and like being freaked out by these things that were like passing me, not knowing what was going on. But then leaving that theater and being immediately immersed into a world that I told my grandfather at 10, this is what I want to do. So look at Cats changing lives. Something rotten will do that for no one. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of What's Up Broadway. You can learn more about What's Up Broadway at bpn.fm/WUB and connect with us on Twitter at BWay Pod Network. Send us a hot tip at bpn.fm/hot tip. And please make sure you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a rating and tune in next week for another episode of What's Up Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.